Evening, guys. So tonight I'm here with Steve and Chris from Tabletop Standard Presents Engine Kill. And if you are wanting to follow along at home and have a look at a bit of their stuff, it's available on the YouTube to see in battle reports. But we've also got Steve_painting_stuff at Instagram. And then we've got Tabletop_standard on Instagram as well. How are you guys going?
Hello, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, good, good. So I've come to your channel as a bit of a fan of the game and was pretty excited to see some independent Titanicus being played on YouTube that, you know, you didn't have to subscribe or anything like that, but the caliber of the models, the quality of the games, and I think the quality of the filming and narration that you guys are doing is really good. So I wanted to get you both on and just have a bit of a chat about how it came to be and what your background is and all that sort of stuff. So how did you guys get started filming?
Oh, well, thanks for having us on, Jackie.
Yeah, no worries.
It's nice to have some support. Cool. How do we get started? Well, the story goes, I was off work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had a prolapsed disc in my lower spine.
Oh, shit.
So, so I was signed off work until they basically had surgery. And I couldn't do a lot of painting, but I could do a bit. So Titanicus was great for me because it wasn't a lot of models. And I was, about 6 months behind you on the painting?
Yeah. I mean, I came into it, I played the original Titanicus when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it was something I always really loved. I mean, you know, that went into Epic and obviously 40K like a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And for me, when I saw they were re-releasing AT
At Warhammer Fest
1 year, whatever it was like that, you know, a call back to my childhood. So for I was always going to go deep into it. But Chris, I think you were liking it, but you weren't necessarily sure at first.
I wasn't sure. I mean, we went to Warhammer Fest the year they announced it.
Yeah.
It was the same year they announced 8th edition 40K. Dropped a lot quicker. So when they announced it, we were so excited, especially with the models and stuff. But when I saw the terminals and stuff, I thought, oh, it's going to be clunky. Is it, you know? So anyway, we got it. We sat on it for a bit, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then we just smashed into it.
It was funny that lag, honestly. I think most people had, most of us anyway that I know had about a 6 month lag on between getting it and actually getting into it. It took a little while to kind of get everything assembled and painted and then actually start sort of playing some games at the level where you were playing like the full advanced rule set as well. Did you guys find the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, well, I spent my first few months after I bought the box set rolling around on the living room floor.
Oh, no.
Just about managing to hold my bladder together. So until the meds kicked in, I couldn't really get started.
And yeah.
Steve had pretty much chucked out your starter set, didn't you?
Yeah, I think, as you say, Jack, there's a lot of complexity to the model kits, particularly the Warlord sprues and everything else. It was far more. It was a project. It was more of a what I thought would be like a side of the painting table project, you know, while I was doing stuff to be a lot bigger, you know, the Warlord's complexity in particular.
This is
something you need to go to town with. So
it's pretty amazing. I think they missed the latest set that's now been announced, you know, the one with the Reaver, the Warhounds and the Sarastas.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys would know as well because you painted a heap of Titans. Like, the Warlord is one of the most complex kits I think that GW Plastic makes, and definitely one of the harder ones to paint. So it was a pretty hard way to get people started as well.
Yeah, I mean, we both did it. When I put my Warlords together, my first two, you put the skeleton together, and then you leave your panels off and paint them and put them on.
Yeah.
So I didn't dry fit the panels, so I put all the legs together, and they weren't on back to front or anything. But if you have them too hyperextended, they end up looking, the knees going the wrong way when you actually put the panels on. So I ended up snapping mine off because they were super glued.
Oh, geez.
And actually cutting them all away and then fudging them back together again.
Are they some of the engines that you've got now?
So
you kept them.
Yeah, you wouldn't notice unless you really looked. I actually cut on the bottom of the legs, they've got all these little tubes that go around the sort of hip bit. I cut most of them off and actually just replaced them.
Yeah, okay.
But it works. It's fine. You can't see it on the screen.
Yeah, well, you've got that nice oblique angle as well coming down at the battle table. So the big Warlord shoulders kind of cover most of that up anyway.
Yeah. I mean, we film in a very small room, so we don't have a lot of space for angles. So we're still playing around with that, really.
And yeah, always improve.
And how did you go going from just having the games? Obviously, you picked up the game and started painting some models and then somehow graduated to YouTube. Where did that kind of idea come from?
Yeah, so that was, again, going back to me being off work. So I was doing a little bit of painting, but I couldn't sit in my chair for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And I said to Steve, I said, let's do a video. Let's just do it. I said, let's add another layer to the hobby. Let's play more and paint less. Let's do that. So we thought, yeah, all right, we'll do it. So set up in the kitchen, and I rummaged around in a charity bag my wife had upstairs, and there was an old Nikon camera that was about 20 years old. Oh yeah, that'll do, we'll film with that, which stopped working halfway through the first bat rep.
But you committed at that point, hadn't you?
Yeah, halfway through, I think it's in the video, I think.
Yeah, oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, so that actually broke. I mean, at the beginning of our first video, there is an apology.
Yeah.
You know, so I just said, you know, you can talk about things and you can plan things for ages, can't you? And I said, let's just do it. It will be terrible.
Yeah.
But it's done. We'll do it and we'll learn from it. And all we had to edit was, bear in mind, my laptop's like 12 years old. It's what I'm doing stuff on.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
It can barely run Premiere Pro.
Yeah.
Initially, we just had Windows Movie Maker, so that was that. And yeah, we just kind of threw ourselves into it and said, "Let's do it." And then the other thing as well was, like, you know, I like watching bat reps, but there was no AT stuff really.
No.
And I said, "Well, let's do it. Why not? Why not be us? Let's give it a go."
Yeah, and I think as well that, you know, the personality that you guys bring too, I particularly like the wrap-ups at the end of the battles, because it adds a little bit of flavor, and you guys do have a joke around in the middle of the battle reports too. But, you know, the latest one in particular, which I won't spoil with anyone, but there was a nice cheeky little sign-off there while you were by yourself.
Yeah, well, we film, like, we both work shift work, so
yeah.
When me and Steve film, we start in the morning, Steve takes his kids to school, pick him up, we film, and then I've got to get him back before 3 o'clock to pick up his kids. So
yeah.
On that one, literally, it went six, well, spoiler, but it went six bloody turns.
Yeah.
And he was like, I've got to go.
yeah, it's time.
I was like, oh, let's get the last turn in and then I'll drop you back and I'll just talk on my own.
Yeah.
So it's better when you've got that other person to bounce off and talk about decisions you made, because I was thinking, I can't even remember what happened. No.
Oh, well, I think you did a pretty good job summarizing it, and we won't spoil anything because it was a particularly good battle. I thought it was really hard fought from both of you guys, and it was a real showcase of what the game has to offer too, like the kind of the swings and you know, the way you guys showcased quite a few different loadouts in there as well, which I thought was cool. So
I mean, what we try and do is obviously have variety between games, so you don't want to start, you know, play the same manipulator over and over.
Yeah.
So we wanted to do the Lupercal because a pair of us finally finished painting five Warhounds each. Five Warhounds were there.
Yeah.
So we thought, let's do that. Let's just do. So we're going to just have 5-on-5. And I was like, let's up it. Let's have some support as well.
Yeah.
And Steve came around. We had all of this, and we realised we only had 8 Warhound terminals.
Ah, the bloody terminals.
Yeah. And I can't even, you've seen that app someone's done for the iPads?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, my iPad's so old, they won't run it, so.
Yeah, I've got an iPad 1, and I can't actually take it online, because if it does, it just will, I know it'll just shit itself. The last time I tried to take it online about 3 years ago, it fully packed in, so I had to reset it all back to factory and then kind of bring it back. But I can keep all the PDFs on there for gaming, which is good, but I couldn't run.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I couldn't run a terminal on there. It'd definitely die.
Nah, so I was gutted. So we had to change that. And then, of course, we introduced the objectives.
Yeah.
Which, in my opinion, but I thought that was really good. I really enjoyed that. It was, makes the game quite dynamic.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that was a nice little custom flair as well. You guys kind of cooked that one up, eh?
Cooked the mission up.
Yeah.
But the engage and destroy chart is, I keep getting his name wrong, Graham Sanders has done a pack.
Yeah, that's the man. So we've in the Eye of Horus Engine Kill Facebook group, there's a link to that post. I think it's up the top. And we just played our we played our last event using only those missions and secondaries, which was really good. It actually adds a lot of flavor, and they're pretty balanced as well.
Yeah, they're good. So we're gonna use. I've got some more objective games in my head, and we're gonna start using that pack as well. And we're all. I think for Engage and Destroy, I think we're always going to use that chart because I just think it's just better.
Oh, yeah, definitely more balanced. I'm sure they'll go something like that when they finally update everything. Hopefully the latest book might come with a bit more of an updated missions chart.
I mean, we're also looking to move forward, aren't we, with sort of narrative stuff, even a campaign we've got in mind.
Yeah.
So we've obviously got a few,
few
mates, players, a few other people on the channel.
Yeah, again, so you've got a shout out to Jeff and George.
Yeah.
Who do a lot of legwork on the channel, which is funny, really, because originally it was just me and Steve for giggles, and George is a member of our local gaming club.
Yeah. Where do you guys play? What's your gaming club?
It's Havant Wargamers on the south coast of the UK.
Okay, nice. Shouts out to the boys. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a great club. They got, you know, really well organized, got loads of boards, loads of terrains, really, you know, the Callum who runs it now is spot on. It's really good down there. And so George was down there, he's got beautifully painted Titans, really enthusiastic, and he's a sound fella as well. He's really good on the camera.
Yeah, nice. Do you guys take turns in the filming as well, or?
I do all the filming because I'm a bit of a control freak.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I would like to maybe swap it over. We should do maybe.
Yeah, I think we should. I mean, we're always looking to improve, and sometimes it is, you know, for the angles, trying to jump from the dice roll into stuff can be a bit of a challenge. So, yeah, I think going forward we might invest a bit more in the technology side of it as well, which we've established.
The technology side of it is the hardest part because we're broke.
Yeah, so, yeah. I get it.
I spent all my money on toys.
Yeah.
I haven't got any money left for tech. So we've got this 12-year-old laptop, which has a habit of shutting down every now and then. So I hope that doesn't happen whilst we're talking.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The camera we're filming on was the cheapest one I could buy. And to be honest, it's pretty good.
It does a good job, man. Like, I feel like the clarity of the footage that you guys are putting online is, yeah, it's really nice. And it picks up the sound really well as well.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good for the money. I had to go out and buy a Ring scene light because my wife works in the beauty industry from home, and she's got this lovely Ring light that we were using for our lighting, but where she's got busy, she needs it for work. So I've had to go out and buy my own.
Yeah, okay.
So it all adds up.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting how it snowballed, isn't it? I mean, we kind of started it, as you said, Chris, just, you know, two mates having a laugh, let's film about report and see what happens. And, you know, it's become another big aspect of our hobby time and our hobby thoughts.
Yeah.
But to us, it was like, I mean, I won't put a model on the table unless it's painted, and Chris is of the same mindset.
Yeah, so nice.
To us, it was very important that it looked good.
Yeah.
And that was one of our principal concerns. And then from there, obviously, you know, we wanted to do a tight, rules-wise game that people could watch our videos and go, oh, you know, that's how you do it. I mean, we don't always get it right.
No, I don't think most people always get it right as well. There's quite a lot of rules in the game, and I think you guys do a really good job of probably representing what at least the average or above-average gamer is probably doing in every game.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say our last one we just filmed,
yeah,
for me, having, you know, edited it and watched it back and stuff, I feel like we've turned a corner with that video. I feel like that one just felt a lot tighter than stuff we've done before.
Yeah, it was nice.
And I'll tell you who's good as well is like when Jeff plays, he's like super tight on the rules. He's really good. He's really good to play with.
Yeah,
and he's pretty solid with tactics and stuff as well. He's
the man to be.
He's a good player.
So that
he's great. You know, that's right. He's great when he comes on because, I mean, more so now I feel more confident with the rules. But when I started, it was great playing games with Jeff because he kind of led it. I was filming it. He was kind of leading it because he just kind of had it down pretty quick. So that was good.
Yeah. I was going to say the tactics is one of the things I really like about what you guys do because there's, you know, as you get to know the game a little bit more, I feel like there's a certain sequence of target selection and firing and movement that's really critical to be able to get it to go. And I think the fact that you guys are, you're filming a game and you're making a show for the rest of us, but you're also still playing a game kind of first and foremost. I think for me, that's a really attractive feature of what you guys do, because it represents kind of the game that, you know, the game that we are playing. You're still telling a story and everything looks amazing, but, you know, you guys are being competitive with each other and you're making competitive tactical choices. And, yeah, it's really cool to watch.
Oh, I'm glad you think so. I mean, we're not... The last thing we want to be doing is going, this is how you should play Titanic, and this is the tactic you should adopt. Like, not at all. Like, the whole idea is we are literally filming our hobby. Like, we...
Yeah.
A game, we try to make it as good a game as we can, and hopefully people enjoy watching it. I think the format that we film, I think where you see a lot of others where you kind of see maybe every bit of movement and stuff, so we kind of overview a lot of things, and that gives us time to put the camera down and actually play our game as well. So
because I talked to someone the other day and they were saying that their battle report process was around 10 hours to get an hour and a half battle report out, and that's a long time, isn't it? You guys aren't really spending that much time.
No, like I say, we've got that. Well, it depends. I mean, so George can do, generally comes around in the evenings, so we've all fit it around everyone's families and jobs for a start.
Yeah.
So George will come around a weekday evening, and we're filming in the evening, so that's not so bad for time.
Yeah.
Jeff will come on a weekend because he works Monday to Friday. He's just had a nipper as well, so he's having some time off.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so that's great for Jeff.
Yeah.
So he'll come on a weekend, and again, it's not so bad for time, but then Steve's literally got that 5 or 6 hours to film.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I think having that sort of overview, as you say, Chris, helps us. It's like we're still enjoying the game. Yeah. We're not going through a process of like a chore. To us, it's like, it doesn't feel sometimes like we're even recording the battle.
Yeah.
It still feels like we're playing our regular game as we would do sort of, you know, in those hours.
Yeah, it's got to be fun.
Yeah, and it's nice if you can spend the time as well having a game. Like we had an event in Australia the other day. It was called Act of Heresy 5, and I flew down to Canberra, the capital, and we had a little side event for Titanicus. And we only had 2 games a day allocated. It just gave us a lot more time to talk to each other and kind of hang out and get a beer and then go and have lunch. And, you know, if we wanted to stop halfway through a turn and then watch what someone else was doing on another turn, it was really nice. You come back to the game again and, you know, get back into it. It's quite a nice social game.
Yeah. I mean, the whole hobby is, if you're not filming, the beauty of the hobby for me is being social, isn't it? It's that face-to-face with people you enjoy spending time with and having a good dust up. So
and so, Steve, you were obviously played AT back in the day in Space Marine and Epic and that sort of stuff. Chris, were you involved back then as well? Or
I mean, I'm not quite as old as Steve, but there's not much in it.
Shots fired. Yeah. Come on, Steve, get him back. Hit him back. Now's your chance.
You can't change his age, mate.
No, but he's far more beautiful. He's got those rugged lines. Yeah.
He's not as tall.
I have been commented on.
Yeah, so, I mean, I had the box set, but I don't ever remember playing it. I definitely played it. We still got our Epic stuff. This is why... One of the reasons we've managed to churn out so many boards is because Steve's got tons of Epic scenery, which is now sitting in my house.
So that landing pad that we were looking at in the latest one, the runway with the stuff, that's yours, Steve?
I got a couple of bits of it from eBay, but I scratch-built the rest, really, and there's a Forge World bit, and there's bits here and there. But, yeah, it's Epic's a big passion of mine.
No, beautiful work, mate. Yeah, it's really nice stuff, and it adds a lot of flavour to the battle reports as well.
Yeah, so 90% of all the scenery on the board is done by Steve. It's either made or painted, assembled. All the buildings that we got, because we got the Grandmaster set. We got one each, didn't we?
Yeah.
We got a Grandmaster set each when that dropped, and you bought another box of the buildings, didn't you? So we had however many sets that equates to.
Yeah.
And Steve said, I'll build it, I'll paint the lot. And I said, great.
Yeah, perfect. It looks really good too. Steve, are you still actively playing Epic now?
Well, just between the group of mates we have, two or three people, it's something I would like to get more involved in. I know there is a big following still for it over here with some tournaments here and there.
Yeah.
But to me, it's always been one of those, I can just happily stand back and look at a game of Epic and not actually play it. Just it's so beautiful. And obviously, like a lot of people, I'm really hoping that they bring it back with a Horus Heresy.
Yeah.
Angle to it, preferably in sort of an 8-10 mil for the Titan scale. That would just be, you know, my dream. I would probably have to harvest a few organs to pay for it, but
it'd be worth it. I mean, what's a kidney or a gallbladder or, you know, whatever you need to give up? Yeah, it's probably not that important.
Nah.
or a disc, right, Chris? You can give up a disc pretty easy and get back on.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend it.
What one did you get taken out? Or what several did you get taken out?
It's still there.
Ah.
They just trimmed off the edges where it was poking out and pushing on the nerve that comes off the back.
Yeah, okay.
So,
you got your cybernetic ports.
So I can just plug straight into my Titan now.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, I got my C4 and 5 disc taken out in 2017. Ooh. So I had surgery on my neck and they cut it out, and I've got like a titanium motorbike peg in there now that's screwed into the rest of them. Which was, you know, same for me. I couldn't do any hobby kind of really at all leading up to it, but then afterwards, with the aid of medication and adequate rest in between painting sessions, I managed to get quite a bit done.
I mean, that's all I did was my Titans, and it was only two Warlords and the two units of Knights at the time, wasn't it? So
yeah. And is there much of a scene that's represented at your club in the south or in the south of the UK at the moment, or have you guys got to kind of encourage new people to get into it or look for new people elsewhere?
Well, at the club there's probably a handful, maybe three or four, and that's including myself, and it doesn't get played that often. I mean, because of my job, my shift work, I can't actually attend the club that often. So
yeah, sure.
A pair of us, so.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people bought into Titanicus.
Oh, man, there's a lot of it up for sale.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many people, you know, went to the sort of full-blown assemble, paint, and play regularly. I mean, there's probably a lot of people like us that just, you know, play at home, you know, have a small group.
Yeah.
Of minded friends. I don't know that there's a massive scene here. I mean, there might be, and I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we met Jeff at a Titanicus meet in Brighton, Dice Saloon.
Oh, cool.
There's a fella called Russell there that every couple of months, he literally just organises a Titan meet and greet. And to be honest, only about four people turn up.
Yeah.
But Jeff was one of those guys, and so we played. And I said, mate, what, you know, you sound, so come down and do the channels. And now he's a regular. So
yeah,
through the game and through the power of social media, we have met other players that are now, you know, part of our little team.
And also next month is there's a big event at Warhammer World over here. A narrative weekend for Titanicus.
Yeah, are you fired up? It sounds like it's going to be pretty big.
Massive. Go walks. I can't wait, mate. It's just like, soon as I was at work when the tickets dropped, and I just bought one straight away.
Nice.
I didn't look what my shifts were. I didn't ask the wife. I just bought a ticket.
Yeah.
And I said to Steve, I said, we've got to go. It's the thing we've been waiting for since they announced the game. So
yeah, definitely.
But you talk about community. There's 10 of us going as a group.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's the four of us that do the channel. There's another guy from the club, and then four or five of Jeff's mates that all play.
Yeah.
And we're going as a group, and I've got everyone T-shirts.
I saw the shirt, man. I'm jealous. I kind of... Have you got an online store or what? Because I honestly will pick one up if you've got one to sell.
Would you really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'll see if I can sort you one out, didn't you, Steve?
I did.
Yeah, so I'll see if I can sort you one out, mate.
Yeah, all right, let me know, because the print quality looked really good, and the logo is pretty sharp as well, so
yeah,
I'm keen.
Little local company, and they did me a good turn with those. So I said to the guys, I said, look, I said, I want to go to the event. I think it's going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
And I said, look, if you all go,
yeah,
I'll get you t-shirts. I'll get you t-shirts.
So yeah, yeah.
I thought I was getting t-shirts for four.
And now you got 10.
Ten.
Yeah. So. It looks good. It looked really good on the channel the other day. And at the event that we had, there was a crew from Melbourne in Australia that turned up with their own custom like team t-shirts on. Actually, there were a few different groups that had their own team t-shirts on, but these guys had really sharp ones with like a custom art piece on the back. Yeah. And then like the logo on the front. And I was like, shit, that looks cool. And I mean, for the other guys as well in the UK, there's probably a lot of people that are watching your battle reports that haven't connected with you yet that would recognize you and the channel while you guys are attending the event. So it might be a good way to get some new blood through or, yeah, meet some new people as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is literally shameless advertising. It's as simple as that, really.
Well, it's nice to kind of get some feedback on what you're doing as well. So I think, you know, I do watch all of them. I think I usually send you a message, Chris, and we have a bit of a chat about it or whatever afterwards. But it is nice to know, like, because as you said, this has become a bit of your hobby as well now, and it does take quite a bit of time and intention to put something up of the quality that you guys are doing. So I think it's worth it if you do get a bit of feedback. And
the problem with this is it's once you've started,
yeah,
you go maintain it.
Oh, maybe you could just vanish into the night and leave this like beautiful bookmark in history, and everyone will be like, remember that channel? It was so good. That last battle report was such a tight one, and you know, and then nothing, never again.
Yeah, I mean that could happen as well.
Hopefully not.
To be honest, at the moment, we both really enjoy doing it.
Yeah,
I know guys do as well. So, I mean, all the while we're enjoying it, you know, it's still fun and we're having a laugh with it, and people want to watch it, you know, we'll keep on doing it.
Yeah, so. I've actually got a video coming out the week of the event, so I've just done a little half an hour chat on the pack and what I'm making.
Yeah. Did they make the pack public, or was that just private for you guys that are going?
You know what? I'm pretty sure it was on the Facebook post for the event.
Okay.
But then apparently now, if you want it, it's on the Eventbrite bit where you buy your ticket.
Okay.
So yeah, but I go through the whole thing with slides and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, so
how many points have they set for you guys? Is it variable or fixed?
It's three lists: 1K, 1.5K, and 2K.
Oh, great! Yeah,
yeah. So you can take one Legio. So if you're going to be Mortis, you're Mortis for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
You can have a different maniple and stuff for your three different points values. So, and then they factored in some minor limitations on knights and household building.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
but it's actually not that bad. There was a lot of stuff banding around, people saying, "Oh, you can only take one, you know, two Acastus and things like that." It's not like that at all. But
yeah.
You can actually have quite a lot if you really want to mathematically. So,
yeah, sure. Okay. Well, and is it up to you as the player then? Do you negotiate for what game size you're going to play at the time, or are they going to kind of set that with the narrative and tell the story?
Yeah. So it's all set around Calf, isn't it? Which conveniently
fits. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we don't actually know what the missions are yet, do we? We're going to find out more on the day, I believe.
Yeah. I was hoping they'd announce something a bit earlier.
Oh, shit. Can you imagine if there were, what was the new book called? Iron and Blood? Iron and Shadow?
Shadow and Iron.
Shadow and Iron. Yeah. Can you imagine if there were the missions from that?
Wouldn't surprise me, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I always had a feeling they were going to drop something for the weekend there. I mean, why wouldn't you?
It'd be pretty spicy if you could pick up the Warbringer as well while you were there.
Sure would.
Yes, it would. I've got great, yeah. I mean, I'm actually, my plans now, hobby-wise, I'm gonna leave the Mortis and I'm gonna start a homebrew Legio.
Nice.
And that way I can start playing with all the other rules in the books and start getting a bit more out of those books.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will just add more variation to the channel for the different rules. We try different legios, so kind of like a studio army almost, really.
Yeah, definitely. And you guys, you know, on the subject of, you know, painting hobby, physical hobby sort of, really represent good painting. Like your guys' stuff looks super sharp. I love the, you know, obviously you're both airbrushing, I'm guessing.
It's tabletop standard, mate.
Yeah, but it's a little bit better than tabletop standard, I'd say. And, you know, you both, like, definitely fill in all the details and kind of cover the bases with weathering and painting and all that sort of stuff. Do you have come from a background of, you know, painting to this level, or is this a bit of a new venture for Titanicus? You know, like, have you guys gone further deliberately with these models, or is this generally how you paint?
For me, I'll speak for myself, it's generally how I paint. I was introduced to the hobby by a friend's dad when I was about 10.
Yeah.
And it's just been something I've always done, even through uni, into work life. And, every now and again, I try and up my game a little bit. I mean, there's so much online nowadays, isn't there, about how to improve your painting.
Yeah, definitely.
Airbrushing me probably the last sort of 5 to 10 years has been something I've been trying to improve upon. But with me, I always try and what I like about the Titans is I like to scratch build and vary the bases, because I think it really goes to show the scale of the Titan.
Yeah, yeah.
I like making little dioramas on the bases and stuff like that. So I really go to town on those a lot. Again, I think it goes back to my love of making scenery and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You actually need to probably put some more updated pics of your Legio on the Instagram too, dude, because you've got some great stuff, but there's only the one Reaver that's actually...
I might try and crack that out later.
What I'd like to do is, once I've got the fellas round doing another turn each on the channel, is actually get some good photos of their stuff and do a little showcase video as well.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Little, you know, tip my hat to them, because we're lucky, because like Jeff and George are all like really competent painters as well, which obviously really helps when you're trying to make something which is visual.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Because I think the other thing too, like, you could probably play really good games and have good banter with some pretty average-looking models, but you guys nail it with the terrain and the kits as well. So, it's a real visual feast. We were lucky as well at this event the other day too. Like, and shouts out to all the boys that went to Active Heresy. The armies were stunning. Like, there was a really beautiful custom Legio. There were... I think 3 Mortis. We had a custom Nighthouse, 2 Vulpers, which I was surprised at, because I haven't really seen, like, my Vulpers is one of the only ones that's floating around on the internet that I can tell. It hasn't been a particularly popular scheme so far. Why Gryphonicus and Mortis? Did you guys just get into the book and kind of get started with book one, or did you have an eye for it beforehand?
I think going back to, say, when I used to play the 80s version, they did the Codex Titanicus book, which I got for like my 13th birthday or something.
Yeah, nice.
And in that, there was some amazing art. I think it was the late Wayne England, or
I'm not sure who did the R.I.P. Wayne.
There was some fantastic art in there of the what then that were called the War Griffins.
Yeah,
and they had some amazing little sort of like those little box. Sort of story sections they used to do in those books, and it really inspired me. I badly tried to paint my my Titans back then in those colours, and so when I saw it again in the new AT books and it had Gryphonicus on the front, I'm like, I've got to go back and do it again and do it some justice this time, hopefully.
Yeah definitely. Do you still have any of the old stuff, Steve, or is it all gone?
Sadly, little brothers happened. But some of my epic stuff goes back that far, but sadly I don't have the Titans anymore, no.
Yeah, okay. Oh, well, it's all the wrong scale now anyway. And you, for you, Chris, the Mortis, how did that come about?
Yeah, I just had to be the bad guys, didn't I? They're on the front of the box.
Nice. Classic. Right. I can tell that by your demeanour as well. You seem like the bad guy. You could be a Bond villain.
Yeah, I'm the only bloody bad guy as well. All the others are loyalists.
Yeah. So,
I didn't know too much about fluff and that. The colour scheme looked nice to me. I'm a very I'm a comfort zone painter, so I'll find something that I can do, and I'll kind of stick with it. And I I have this black and red sort of technique that I like, and I thought that'll work for me.
Yeah, it's a really nice black that you've gone for as well. Like, it's got quite a lot of depth to it.
Yeah, it's got like a sheen to it. So, I mean, it's essentially, it's just black, but I spray over it with a grey.
Yeah.
And then I put a Nuln Oil black shade through the airbrush over the whole thing.
Yeah, yep.
It ties the grey and the black together, so you don't see that obvious transition.
Yeah, you know, nice.
That kind of works. I've never done any weathering or anything, because it's just something I've never done. I've got any experience in it, so I'm loath to experiment on something I'm really happy with. So
yeah, well, you've got some really nice base there. So even if you did experiment on other models in the future, you know, you could revisit these ones, and everything is kind of ready to go at this point. So
yeah, I mean, I'm hoping on my next Legio, which I'm starting. As soon as I get the new toys, that's maybe where I'm going to start experimenting. But yeah, we'll see.
Nice.
I'm a comfort painter, so I might chicken out.
I know what you mean. I kind of get into the groove as well, and I can only paint at one level, and I paint how I know, and it's hard for me to kind of push to do more, but I think it was really good for me to kind of go to this event on the weekend, this past weekend, the Active Heresy thing, and see some. And, you know, maybe the same will be for you guys going to Warhammer World on the... Is it a couple of weeks away?
Yeah, it's on the 15th
yeah.
of Feb.
Yeah, nice. So, yeah. Oh, right. So only a fortnight from now. But, yeah, it'll be awesome to see kind of what other people are doing. And you can kind of go, oh, man, I really like that effect. I'm going to, you know, think about how I can apply that, either the new Legio or... yeah, I think for me too, I feel like a bit drawn towards a custom Legio now after seeing a custom Legio, because, shouts out to Michael John, who's one of the co-hosts of the Ive Horus Engine Kill. He's, his Legio, I think it was Pertinax. It was the Iron Bulls. They look amazing. Right. Yeah. I'll show you guys a photo of that.
I've got a Legio name and a bit of history, and I've got some, I found some, custom decals on eBay for it all, so
yeah.
There'll be a big reveal.
Yeah, nice. And I've seen a bit of Heresy, Steve, that you've got going on there. Is that something you were doing before, or is that kind of what you're moving towards in the background now?
It's something I've wanted to do for a while.
Yeah.
But I couldn't really fully commit financially.
Oh, man, yeah.
So it's something I've gotten to in the last sort of 6 to 12 months, really. It's just, again, I think as part of it was to try and up my own painting game a bit. But also, you know, Chris and I were thinking about doing a bit of a sort of, you know, a little bit of 30K. I'm not sure we're going to bat rep it, but we'd certainly sort of have a little bit of, you know, a smaller game of 30K here and there thrown in.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I'd like to attend some events in the UK and overseas if I could, sort of, 30K stuff. So yeah, it's kind of a trickle for me at the minute. It's not really my main priority, but it's certainly something in the background I'm doing.
Well, that Leviathan looks brilliant, dude. I'm really impressed with that.
Thank you so much, Ricky.
Yeah.
Inadvertently made Titanicus Steve's priority.
Yeah, well, that's not bad. Hey, I'm very appreciative. Like, it's worked out pretty well for me. So, yeah, go for it. Keep bending his arm towards the AT stuff. And hopefully we'll see some Warbringers on the channel soon, eh?
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem now, is like, obviously they've announced this stuff, and obviously you want to make a video with it fresh.
Yeah.
It's not like we're getting anything early, and then you've got to put it all together and paint it. So by the time we make a video with it, I don't know how long they've been out for.
You guys have such a good thing going on. I think whenever it appears, it's going to be cool to see, and I'm excited to see it on the channel anyway, but there's definitely no rush.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks. I mean, I'm planning on basing the new Legio around the mana pools that are in the new book. So
yeah,
it's something completely fresh. So I can use new mana pool rules and use different Legio rules. Because at the moment we're kind of cycling through the four. Although George's is the Stobiax, isn't it? So he kind of, because they haven't got rules yet, so he kind of picks and chooses, which is quite good. But it'd be nice to do a bit more.
Have either... Oh, sorry, Steve.
Games Workshop, if you are listening and you want to send us a pre-release copy of the new book, feel free to do so.
Yeah, I feel like maybe I've burned my bridge a few too many times. I made them take down some photos of my models, so this might not be the best place to get official sponsorship from GW, but if they are listening, Andy, please send these guys a pre-release copy. I'd really appreciate it if you hook them up for the greater good of the community. But yeah, I think I'm probably the wrong guy. I fucked up a few times. Maniples. Have you guys got any favorite maniples that you like to run?
Yeah.
Just, definitely. On or off screen?
I'm all over the Ferox.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
I think I like the Venator. Trying to get that cheeky extra Reaver shot off after Warhound's done someone's shields in is a great appeal to me.
Yeah, nice. It
worked out very much, but I'll still keep trying.
I love the Ferox, and being a traitor player, there's a couple of traitor strategies that go really well with it.
Yeah, Bloodthirst is a good one, right?
Absolutely, and there's the other one that where you can add two to your boosted movement.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. So you
Warlust? I think that's Warlust, yeah.
So you combine them, brutal, and it's just fun to play.
Yeah.
You can stick in a blind barrage on
and just help you get up to that distance a lot quicker.
I've had a bit of fun with the Bloodlust one, so it gives you the +2 to hit.
Yeah.
But then you stick blind barrage on your target.
Uh-huh.
So if they're a close combat Reaver,
yeah,
you're both at the minuses to hit, but because you've got your bonus +2 again,
you've cancelled it out.
You're back to hitting on your ballistic skill 3 because you're Ferox. You've got +2 for your chain fist, so you're still hitting them all day long, and they're at -2.
Yeah, beautiful, nice strat.
And you're within 2 inches. So
you are a Bond villain, mate. This is some some anti-Bond strategy here we've got.
That's my favourite combo at the moment.
Yeah, nice. And what's
actually here recording in your secret underground?
Yeah. And as far as engines go, then obviously, if you guys have got favourite maniples, both featuring Warhounds and Reavers, it's got to be something around there, right?
Yeah, it's the Reaver.
Yeah.
Same for me. I love the Reaver. It's an all-rounder. It's got a good movement. It's got a good shield. It's just got a good, as it's supposed to be. It's the jack of all trades. Being Graphonicus, I can swap them in and out on maniples.
It's just so efficient. I mean, if you think about it as well, it's faster than a Warhound.
Yeah.
Because you can push it for movement. Pushing a Warhound, it gets ropey, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
So you're really moving your Warhounds at 8, but your Reavers you can move at 9 inches quite happily.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
I think the robust reactor and the better shields, like I spent a few games over the weekend standing in front of Warlords, with that the Gatlers on the roof, the Gatler on the hand, and then the plasma on the side, and you can actually take that kind of punishment in a Reaver, whereas a Warhound just wouldn't sustain that kind of punishment. And then a Warlord, on the other hand, I found they were actually quite fragile on the weekend.
I haven't got to grips with a Warlord.
Yeah.
I find them hard to use myself. I haven't quite found that expert. I haven't got any expertise, but I'm just terrible with Warlords.
I think the corridor, in my experience, the corridor is a really limiting factor. And when you if you can eliminate the guns on the top, then the guns on the arms aren't significantly better than what you can get on a Reaver, or even, when you're double-shotting the maximal plasma blast gun on a Warhound. That's definitely one of the top guns in the game. But yeah, when you're locked into such narrow fields of fire, you can only turn so far, your strafing is almost negligible, you can't back up, your forward movement's really limited, they don't fit in spots as well. So yeah, they're really a tough one to play. And I know some of the other podcast guys are big fans of Warlords, but I'm in the same boat. I haven't really settled in to play one. I was a bit nervous playing a whole event weekend, kind of what you guys are coming up to, and not taking a Warlord because they do really suck some fire up. But yeah, in the end, I think I ran Ferox all weekend and I wouldn't look back. I probably would have changed to Corsair because I ended up sitting more in that, you know, the mid-range around the 16 to 8 inches as opposed to a bit closer than that. But
and that extra movement, that sideways, backwards movement,
yeah, is fantastic. Yep, definitely. Yeah,
it's not always obvious, is it? You know, when you read these Manipul rules, some of them jump out of the page here, but I think the Corsair one didn't at first to me, but having played it, yeah, it's definitely in my top three favourites.
And you find the Venator is kind of stable enough, you know, running that many hounds? And
to be honest, it's more of a gimmick for me to try and get that shot off.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, can I do it? It's more like a, yes, 10 points, achievement unlocked.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
It's my 2K list for the Legio Walks event is a Ferox with a Warlord.
Oh, nice. So yeah, a full Ferox and then a bonus full Warlord. Ferox
with a support Warlord, but it's the Penumbral Reaper, which is the Mortis Titan of Legend.
Yeah, okay.
So he's kitted out with the claw for close combat.
Yeah.
And he gives close combat buffs to friendly Titans within 12 inches. They can re-roll ones with melee.
Yeah, nice.
And he gives plus one to command checks, I think, as well. So
yeah.
I feel that as a support Titan, that works quite well with a Ferox, quite themey, very aggressive. And I'm starting to play around more with Warhound squadrons. I never did initially. I always played them individually.
Yeah.
I think in bigger games, when you're looking at 2K plus, I think squadrons of Warhounds, especially with laser blasters,
yeah,
got a bit more about them.
Yeah, definitely. I think the initially scary part for me as well is the lack of activations. Being out activated is quite a dangerous situation to be in when you're in AT. But some of the bonuses that you can get for using the coordinated strike, it's absolutely ruthless on that blast gun. Even just that one extra point, it's amazing how much, you know, you wouldn't think one extra point of damage would really do much, but I mean it adds up.
Yeah, I mean, I want to try a game with two Manipuls, but having a really small Lupercal Manipul of only three Warhounds.
Yeah.
Having them all potential, well, you can pick and choose your squadron every turn.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Having them all with laser blasters, and that's plus two to your coordinate strike, and they can aim.
Oh, man, it's crazy.
And because I'm Mortis as well, I can give them the War Master's Beneficence.
Yeah.
So their first rounds of shooting, they got Shieldbane for free.
Yeah, wow.
So what's that, 4, 8, 12 shots?
I think it was actually your channel that made me reconsider the laser blasters. Because I'd sort of written them off a little bit more, but the precise aiming at strength 8 and with a coordinated strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when you look at a Warhound, I think everyone's first thing is to, with the Warhound, it's fast.
Yeah.
You want to be getting in close. But when you've got a 32-inch range on laser blasters, what you've got there is a really mobile sniper rifle.
Yeah, definitely.
So you don't have to get your Warhound up close, but you can definitely get out of arcs and still get those sniping shots off.
Yeah.
That's my theory. I've not really done that yet, but I definitely think there's some scope there.
It all just goes back to what you said earlier, Chris, about just, you know, there's not many models in this game yet, but the combinations and the variations in tactics and the way you can construct your force is just, I think that's what keeps bringing us back to this game, isn't it?
Oh, it's really, it's really cool.
And, the games are so, you can have all the best plans in the world. You can build your Manipul thinking, well, this Titan's going to work with this Titan, I'm going to do that. But the whole you go, I go structure just completely opens up what can happen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reaction, and I really like that. I really like that taking time, just looking at the board and thinking, well, if I do this, that's going to happen. It's fantastic.
And Steve, are you eyeballing any Manipuls in particular or anything for the weekend, or are you keeping that under wraps for now?
To be honest, there's no secrets there. I really like the Corsair Manipul.
Yeah.
I like the movement abilities for the Reavers. And obviously, like, you know, the Griffonicus, you can add more Reavers into different Manipuls, which is quite nice. And the Lupercal, because I just think it's fun.
Yeah.
I haven't really got any huge tactics in mind, like Chris says.
No, it's not so much a tactic. I've got sort of some combinations that I think are good. But like I say, on the day, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to be
coming
up against. We don't even know what the mission's going to be. I mean, the whole thing's a narrative weekend, so they're not going to be match play missions. So
no, and it'll be interesting too if they unbalance you guys for the purpose of narrative, because that could ruffle a few feathers. But it would be a really interesting kind of point.
I've got no problem with that whatsoever. I'm going for the. Yeah. You know, when you buy the ticket, you're either buying a loyalist ticket or a traitor ticket.
Yeah.
So I'm all down for that. I'm all down for a themed weekend. If it's back against the wall stuff, great. I've got no problem. That is Titanicus to me.
Yeah. Definitely.
The story is, you know, them being involved in the narrative is really what drew us to the game as well. Mm. I mean, it's again, I have no problem. I'm all for
I would
those kind of games.
I would hate to see it turn into this hardcore match play win game. That's, you know, I think that when you look at the people that follow it on the Facebook groups, I think they're all about the narrative. There's a lot of pride taken in people's maniples.
Yeah.
I just think, yeah, I think it's a different game to a lot of the other stuff that's out in GW. And I think, you know, the fact that it's a narrative event is not by any stretch a tournament, speaks volumes really about where the game is.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can't wait to hear about it afterwards. And you'd mentioned that there might be some potential that you'll take the old camera along and see if you can sort of film a bit of stuff for the channel.
Yeah, I mean, they don't allow filming in there, so I'm going to...
Okay.
So I'm going to just try and get... So I've done a video coming out before telling you about it and what I'm taking. That's part one. And then I'm hoping I don't get so drunk that I can capture, you know, what I try and do is, with my opponent's consent, is just get some pictures of their stuff, get some snaps of the games, and then, you know, go over basically how the weekend went. What I really wanted to do was kind of do what we're doing now with the lads and kind of talk about it, but I've got no idea how to record all this sort of stuff, so that's
that's interesting.
I think it's to do with child protection laws or something.
There's lots of reasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But you can drink in there still, so you can drink and play a game. But then there'll also be kids present.
Yeah. Exactly. So I mean, the bar's great. I mean, well, I've done a few events at Warhammer World with other games, and day one. Get absolutely shit-faced, yeah.
we started out the same way on the weekend as well. I think I drank like 10 pints of beer on Saturday, and I had I had breakfast rum in the hotel before I went there, and then I had like a tail end rum at the end of the day. But Sunday came around, I was just on coffee after that, so I was like super dusty afterwards.
I like the doubles events, because you've always got an oppo to watch your beer when you go to the loo and stuff and just get on with the game.
Yeah, it's a bit nice.
Difficult when you're getting, when you're trying to get loads of beers in and stuff when you're playing on your own, but the narrative aspect of it, I'm sure it will be a lot of fun. I'm hoping there's a lot of, you know, shouting out engine kills, and I just think the atmosphere is going to be buzzing.
It's going to be
good. They've got some painting competitions up.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
The day, so it'll be obviously best Reaver, best Warhound, best Knight, and then they've got best battle group, which is everything that you take for the day. So I'm pretty sure you can nominate your own stuff, so I think there's going to be a lot of good stuff in the cabinets to look at.
Wow, cool, okay. And is judging kind of happening while you guys are gaming as well? So people will be coming around having a look?
Yeah, I mean, traditionally at their events, Games Workshop would go around and nominate people, but I think for this one you can just nominate yourself. So,
oh, okay, cool.
You stick it in their cabinet. Yeah. I don't know.
I think there's a players vote.
Yeah, I think basically people go around, the players vote, they go around, they get a piece of paper and they stick it in the box. So, I mean, having seen what I've seen on the FB group, there are some really amazing stuff. So I'm hoping to get loads of pictures, some really nice Titan Legions for the day.
So are there people kind of G-ing you guys up about the event at the moment in a Facebook group? Sort of, you know, is there some narrative preview coming and you guys are aligned into traitor and loyalist factions in groups at the moment?
No, not really.
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
Just could be me not being aware of it.
No, it may not be happening. I was thinking, yeah. Wow, like that's really developed and like cultivated narrative if they've got independent groups for loyalists and traitors and that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean that would be next level sort of stuff. So I honestly would have loved to have come to a Warhammer World Horus Heresy event at some point, but it's a shame they've sort of put a pin in that for now.
Yeah, yeah. They're not doing one this year, which...
Which is a shame, because I've just finished my...
I don't really understand why they would do that. I know they've made whatever excuses they've made, but...
Yeah.
No, I just think that's a really strange thing to do.
I think it's sort of, you know, for them too, that it's changing times. There's a lot of, you know, when I got back into the hobby, it was amazing the kind of connection and access that you could have to designers and... painters and stuff like that. Like I used to talk to Phil and Mark, and they were the painters for Forge World at the time, and you could sort of, you know, like they'd see your work and they comment on stuff, and then you could send them messages and back and forth and that kind of stuff, and you could meet some designers and they were a little bit less candid. But I think now it's a lot more kind of corporate, I suppose. So maybe the way that everything runs through the community website now, they don't have as much need, like economical need for an open day anymore, because everything's all online.
Maybe. But I don't know. I think having those weekends is good for them. I think it's good for the hobby. I think people, I mean, we were so excited for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad, isn't it? It's living for a bloody weekend playing with my toy soldiers. I was just so excited.
Do you guys tell people at work or not?
Yeah, I get ripped into.
Really? Likewise. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
What areas do you guys work in then?
I'm a children's nurse. Yeah. So I work in A&E or ER, what do you call it?
Yeah, yeah.
In the way you are. So some of my colleagues, or wherever I do, some of them even follow me on Instagram.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, just quite nice. But a lot of it is good-natured digs now and again about playing with toy soldiers.
Yeah. And for you, Chris, what sort of area are you working?
I'm in the fire service, so.
Oh, cool.
It's all right.
Yeah, bit of a boys' club, eh?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with that, I mean, you just get ripped apart there for anything anyway, so.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't really matter. And basically, the more they try, I just start talking about it.
Yeah.
I'll just indulge them.
Yeah. Well, my sort of approach, like I kind of keep it to myself as well. And I've worked in some, you know, like I've worked in construction and mining and all that sort of stuff. And I work in a, you know, mechanics sort of workshop now. And I'm always just like, what do you fucking do? Like this is what I do. Look what I made on the weekend. Like, what do you do? Like, sure, it's a toy or a model or whatever, but you sit at home and watch TV with, you know, like, no, you've got no, I don't know, like a lot of people lose these kind of hobbies as we get older, which is, I think, one of the really beautiful things about what we do is, like, every night, you know, probably everyone who's listening to this is coming home and building something or painting something or, you know, thinking about a new concept or creating a narrative. Like, you know, you guys are writing little stories in your head for the, you know, the script for the next show and, you know, thinking about what you're going to do. And I just think that's such a cool approach that we have to our lifestyles that, you know, no matter how much you get ribbed for still playing with toys, like at the end of the day, you're creating something pretty cool and you're not just, I don't know, working and waiting to die kind of. Or waiting for leave or whatever. We've got little holidays every night when we come home. It's. I feel really lucky to do this.
What's the swear barrier on this chat?
Oh, go for it, man. Get in there.
Anything
you want.
Okay. So I'm there's a guy that put a tweet on, which has been going around Instagram. The guy's name is George Henderson. And he's put this quote, and I'll read it to you, and I just think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
So, okay, yes. See cunts that slag people off for their hobbies that might not be for them. They do my tits in. You want to go train spotting? You crack on. If collecting stamps from French Polynesia is your thing, stamp away. Life without a passion is simply fucking existence.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, what a champ. That's a good one, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, you wanna paint toy soldiers. And the, you know, the beauty of this, again, like I said earlier, is, you know, it is social. I mean, Christ, we've met loads of people. We see each other regularly.
Yeah.
We hang out. It's face-to-face.
Yeah.
Since we've been doing the channel, you know, we've met guys that are now helping on the channel. We're going to events.
Yeah.
We're speaking to Australians on, you know, podcasts.
Yeah, g'day, mate.
You know, how cool is that?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And it is amazing. Like, it's a big world. And you know, I put $2,000 into flying away for the weekend from where I live, because I live right in the middle of Australia now. And I could not think of a better investment for that money, because, you know, what I gained from the weekend and how reinvigorated I am to come back and do this hobby and do something that enriches my life so much. It's definitely worth it. Like you said, you know, we've got this passion. So, yeah, I feel lucky.
You know, it's, you know, the games are fairly complex, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, it's pretty smart. It's creative as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, doing all your painting and stuff. It's pretty, as far as hobbies go, it's pretty healthy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's better than just going down the boozer and sinking pints on the weekend and watching football or whatever as well, you know, like, yeah, we've definitely got it sus. So when's...
You get that, there's nothing better than when you finish the model and you just go, I did that.
Yeah.
No, that's mine, that's something I've done. It doesn't matter if it's your first model you ever painted or you're picking up a golden demon, you did that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what's next for the channel then? So you've got the preview of the Warhammer World event coming up.
Yeah.
Is there are there any more scheduled kind of battle reports that you guys are kicking around ideas for at the moment?
I think it's more, I think we're still kicking ideas around, really. I mean, I might do a video as well, talk about what I might take to the event.
Oh, cool.
I imagine there'll be a dissection of that at the end of when we get back, talking about what we saw, we did, how it went.
Yeah.
For us, the games, hopefully. Again, I think I mentioned earlier, we want to do a narrative thing and a campaign.
Yeah.
Even if it was just, you know, reasonably just linked games with, you know, the campaign rules as they exist. I believe the new book's got more campaign rules in it, possibly.
Yeah, I did hear about new campaign rules coming out, so that could be good. And we're talking about sort of fleshing that out to be more of a developed system overall.
Fantastic, yeah. So something like that, you know, where you can see, you know, you're... My favourite Reaver going into battle slightly fucked up already.
Yeah.
stuff like that. So I think I really loved that in the original game where, you know, you could scavenge the battlefield for weapons and stuff like that.
So, yeah. Have you guys played around with any of the campaigns yet at all or not yet?
I've planned one out for us, but we just haven't got around to doing it. That's more the logistics of it rather than the narrative. But, I mean, we haven't decided whether or not we're going to set it in the existing sort of Kalf, Moloch, sort of Beta Garmin background, or whether or not we'd come up with our own little, you know, piece of the 31st millennium.
Yeah.
Might, you know, tie in well with Chris's new Legio.
Yeah, so, nice.
That's kind of what we're going. Obviously, you know, Nightbringers, yeah, not Nightbringers, Warbringers and everything else that come as well will be featured heavily in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, time is the enemy.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'd love to be able to, you know, say, oh, this is what we're going to do and devote a whole week to coming up with stuff and filming three things and then spending a couple of days editing and just having three videos come out in a week. But realistically, one a month?
Yeah.
Two a week.
Oh, look, man, honestly, I think that's more than enough. Like, even just to podcast, you know, like I hit record before we started. We have a chat for an hour or so and then I press stop. Just even getting around to, you know, doing all the different uploading, checking the levels, like sometimes I've got to chop all the audio up into different segments and kind of bring you guys up a bit and take me down a bit and that kind of stuff. Like, I think there's a lot of time that just goes into this and I'm not even dealing with, you know, footage, putting graphic overlays on. I thought the graphics were really nice on the latest one, by the way.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. And I mean, when you say like the technology, I think some of the gear that people are working with to probably produce battle reports that, you know, well, there's AT battle reports that you have to pay for. And I think what you guys are putting out with the equipment level that you've got is just fucking phenomenal because, I mean, you're kind of like, upstarts using what you've got and putting out these top level battle reports. Yeah, I think the way that it's all kind of coming together, the more that you do, it's really good.
Yeah, I feel like we're in a place where we need potential viewers to kind of trust us and go, yeah, I'll give it a go, because we're I feel we're quite underground, aren't we, really?
A little bit still.
I mean, as far as the editing goes, I literally had to sit down with everything I had recorded, and I had my tablet on my left with YouTube videos on how to put two videos together.
Yeah.
How to title, how to do a transition.
Yeah.
It was step by step. I kind of feel that I've learned enough now to string a, like I say, a half decent video together. And it takes a while to sort of suss your format out, how you want it to be. So
yeah,
I think like you say, from that last video, I think that is that's kind of a good place to be, and we'll try and maintain that standard at least.
It felt pretty slick while we were doing it. I think we've got sort of the format that we like to do kind of nailed.
And like yourself, the people that do enjoy it, they're so good. They're so nice. Like, you get really nice messages and really nice comments, and, you know, all that stuff really does, you know, it does drive you on. It's that real carrot, not the stick mentality. You know, when people are enjoying what you're doing, you think, yeah, I'll do this again. That's good.
And so, props to you guys as well. Like, I've found just getting started was really hard. And I mean, I know so much stuff. I know how to fix and build so many things, and I'm really handy and practical. But I found the technology side of all of this, and the internet, and like the confidence to just go on the internet and put something up and be like, "Well, here I am." You know, like, here's my dumb voice, here's my dumb opinion. You know,
my dumb face.
Yeah, here's my dumb face. Well, not necessarily my dumb face, but I do have one. You know, off you go with it. Like, just, you know, it's out there now. Like, it's not mine anymore. I don't own it anymore. It's really brave of you guys to do this as well, because, you know, you're adding that extra element to you. Like, you've got someone in your kitchen. You've got someone in your... it looked like you had more of a filming room this time around. There was a banner in the background and...
Yeah, that's my... So I've got... So we started in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I had like a room up, back bedroom up. And that's where I did all my painting. And it's like a little snug out of sofa and that. And one day I was just looking at the space and I was thinking, pretty sure I can get a table in here.
Yeah, nice.
And credit to my wife. She was actually the one that said, if you want to do it, do it.
Yeah.
Just start the channel, just do it. And she was like, if you want the back bedroom, do it. So...
Oh, awesome.
And he's been like uber supportive.
Props to most of the partners out there, because I'm sure all of us have got, you know, like I run so much stuff past my missus, and I'm like, oh, what do you reckon about this? And she always thinks everything looks lovely, but she's super supportive as well. Like, I've got a hobby room and, you know, all this unnecessary sort of gear, but it just makes it all so much easier too when you've got a place and you've got someone who's encouraging that you can do that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, do you know what? It was fine in the kitchen.
Yeah,
but it was in the kitchen. Do you know what I mean? Like, but this kind of feels a bit more professional, or whatever. It just feels like a proper space.
Yeah,
like, you know, silly things like having the banner up when we do the chat at the back. I wish it was higher, but I'm not moving it.
No, it's fine.
you know, it just feels better. So,
and the lighting would be one of the things that I would find to be the scariest sort of thing to get right, because a lot of us paint under pretty good light, but then generally when we game, it's probably not under good enough light to appreciate the models. But you guys seem to have a pretty good balance where when you're watching it, you can actually sort of see the vivid colors and the paint jobs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Is that mostly from that halo light, or have you got a fair bit of lighting going on?
We've just got this one big ring light which is in the corner, and because the I don't know if you can see in the video, on the left-hand side when you're watching it, because kind of in the roof, the ceiling's sloped.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it's white, so the light bounces off that as well.
Yeah.
And then I've got two small LEDs which are next to me when I'm filming, just to sort of try and take some of the shadow out on the other side.
Yeah, okay. And it's all handheld, isn't it? So you've just got the camera in hand for the time?
The camera is all handheld, yeah. Yeah. Which you can definitely tell.
No, I thought it might have been on your head for a little bit, the way it was working.
No, it's all handheld. And the worst bit is when you're trying to do your dials.
Yeah.
And you look up, and next thing you're filming across the corner of the battlefield with nothing on it.
You know what? I think it's really nice, though, about you guys doing this is, and, you know, I was watching Steve do it in the latest one as well, is that I've played these games for a really long time now, and dice and dice rolls are quite precious to people. But the fact that you guys are willing to let kind of the dice rolling happen by whoever it's sort of most convenient by, I think that that's really cool. Like, to be able to hand the dice rolling over to Steve for him to roll something critical for you. It's like it adds that nice kind of friendly, social, familiar element because, yeah, some people get really weird about their dice where they're like, you know, I have to roll this and don't touch that and I need to roll it this certain way and I can only roll one at a time or whatever. And, you know, for you guys to just be like, oh, yeah, you roll it up or, you know, that kind of thing, it adds like that really nice familiar element.
Yeah, I mean, I'm great you get that, but the main thing for that is I've got one hand.
So. Yeah, well, yeah, that's part of the other thing too. Like, you've obviously got the camera in the hand.
So it's just like, if you can just measure that, you know, roll this, move that, then that's great.
Well, yeah. It is nice that you can blame me for when it goes wrong.
Yeah.
Does that happen off camera? Because I haven't seen that yet. That could be the dark side, the episodes
we try to keep it, obviously, you know, YouTube family friendly, but there are times when we had to hit pause and a few fucks are thrown.
Yeah. I mean, I love a good swear. I think it's a great part of language, but because we know it's, you know, you want to branch out to a wide audience, so we try and keep that out on the channel.
Are you aware?
Some gestures sometimes, or some shakes I throw at Chris.
Oh, yeah. What you can't see is when I'm filming the battlefield is him sticking his finger out. All this kind of stuff.
Do you reckon there'll be many young blokes at the Warhammer event? Like, does it seem like something the young bloods are getting into, or?
I don't know.
It's a perceived cost barrier with AT.
Which is a lie.
Yeah. So when the Grandmaster set came out, I think a lot of people were spinning chips about it. I don't know. I think it's probably a more, I don't want to use the word mature, but
yeah.
there's an older sort of chaps game rather than, you know, I'd love to be proved wrong. I'd love to be, you know, there with some, you know, some of the young guys that are just getting into it and AT's their thing. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But I see it more being as, you know, the game that's played the 40k, plays 30k, or has played lots of other games, and, you know, it's either come back to Titanicus like I did, or, you know, it's just got into it because they've just seen it and it's for them.
I'm not aware of many young blokes that are playing it, but I mean, who knows, especially in the UK as well, because I guess you guys have got the grandfather of scenes for this sort of stuff. I'll be really interested to sort of hear how the event goes, and, you know, I'm really looking forward to what you guys wrap up afterwards and seeing what sort of crowd there were.
You'll get an idea more of the pack and stuff if you watch the video coming out.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what's fascinating, mate, is when you do the old YouTube stuff, is you get all the analytics.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I can see, obviously, how many people are watching and how well the videos are doing compared to the last one. Funny enough, it has an audience section, but it tells you the age groups of people that subscribe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it says not enough demographic data at this point, which is normally up there. So I could have given you an idea of who's watching.
Yeah.
But I can't.
Where are you guys landing most of your viewers from? Is there anywhere in particular that's kind of taken it up, or?
Well, 29.3% from the United Kingdom.
Yep.
16.6% from the States.
Yeah, okay.
2.24% from Australia.
How are you, Jackie?
Yeah, that's literally just me. I don't believe that for a second, mate.
And 2.4% from Sweden.
Oh, okay. Yeah, powerful Swedish heresy, man. They go wild for it over there.
It's like blue eyes, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the off-camera blue eyes that are getting him on board.
So, yeah, the analytics are... I spend a lot of time just staring at lines going up and down.
Yeah.
Sad.
Well, no, I remember I used to do that from the you know, the kind of blog days, you would get blog analytics, and it was quite interesting just to see kind of who was picking up what you were putting down. Not that you really changed the content in any way, but you kind of, you get a bit of an idea for, yeah, who's looking. And you're right, like, I probably got 2% viewers or listeners from Australia as well, and it'd be like my mate down the road, I'd know that guy as well.
That's it. Yeah. So if we can get that to 3%, mate, that would be...
Well, yeah, hopefully we get a few more. I mean, I definitely tell everybody I know about it, like which is obviously not working, so I'm probably not doing a good job of describing it. But either that, or your listenership is so big and Australia is so small that the percentage of population, it's not working out on a percentage.
I'll tell you the one that interests me the most.
Yeah.
Is 60% of our viewers are not subscribers.
Oh, okay.
So
why would they not want the convenience of being a subscriber? I do it because I know it's coming up, and then
why would you not want to know?
Yeah. Yeah, very unusual.
So I just wonder if there's a turnover of first time viewers that go, nah.
Not for me.
And they have, you get kind of completion statistics, don't you? So are most people making it through the battle reports all the way? Or most of the way? I'm not sure about this. It can be something we can talk about after if you want, anyway.
No, that's right. 10% will watch it in one go.
Yeah, okay.
Most people watch it in bits of about 24 minutes.
Yeah, that's not too bad, though. I reckon that's actually pretty reasonable, because I often don't have time to... I think I watched the latest one you guys did in four chunks, because that was the most time I can string together.
I always drop a video on Tuesday, because I just think, well, Titanic is Tuesday, why not?
Yep.
So that's something I started doing. It used to be a Thursday, but Titanic is Thursday didn't really work for me.
No. Might as well.
Or wrong. Titanic is Tuesday. Better than Rome either.
That sounds better, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tuesdays, anyway.
Yeah.
And then I thought I'll drop it at lunchtime, UK time, because I'm pretty sure, I know a lot of people actually, they messaged me, go, oh, that's my lunchtime viewing sorted. So I thought,
oh,
yeah,
wow.
So I thought, you know, and then you got the rest of the day. So people, I know people will start at lunchtime and then they finish it in the evening.
Yeah.
And then it's been out for a week then, so then it kind of picks up over the weekend. So, yeah, it's just, they do follow the same sort of pattern, but the good thing is every video is getting, more minutes watched, so that's positive.
Yeah, nice. Well, I think as well the latest couple have been quite close to the end, haven't they? I think the last landslide that I watched was probably the Night House one.
Yeah.
Steve, tell us what you really think.
The scarves haven't healed.
I mean, the thing is as well, like when we started doing the videos, the nights dropped not long after, so we were kind of like, we need to, you've got to keep up with the new shit. So
yeah,
they're quite early videos and they're quite small games as well, so I don't know how good a representation it is, but yeah, I think, you know, night list, you fought a quite a hefty night list, didn't you, at the weekend?
Yeah, I did. It was actually really good fun, and it was one of those funny moments at the start of the day where we divided into loyalists and traitors, which was mostly faction aligned anyway, but some people sort of had to switch sides. And then it was like the next question in line was who wants to fight the Night House first. And I'm, you know, like I come from competitive sport and contact sport and that sort of thing. So I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll have a go. Like, I don't really care. I'll bang heads with anyone. And I went in there with no pre-warning. Like I played a little tune because I've moved to the middle of the desert, and that happened in April last year. So I was playing quite a lot up until April, May sort of time. And then I had one tune-up game where we only managed to get three rounds in before we ran out of time in December. And then the next game was against the Night House. And it was, it was tough. I mean, I think like you guys were trying to showcase the Porphyrons a little bit, which definitely...
Yeah.
Makes it a different vibe.
The whole organization as well. So
yeah,
you have a list, and then obviously the Porphies came out and
got
a bad rep. So you kind of want to say, you know, this is why.
They had a bad rep. Name. You wanted to either prove or disprove it, or not even that really. You just wanted to see if it was true. And
I think that was actually really good representation too, and I enjoyed how. Open you guys were with your responses to things that were going on too, like, you know, obviously this is harsh, but you know, here we go, I'm going to shoot at the Reaver, And, you know, I remember that poor Reva copying it, and I was like, fuck, this is insane. But, you know, shouts out to Sean. Like, we were using a modified rule set for them where initially we'd modded the point costs. In Australia, we've got like a community of people that's run things through a group called Mournival Events. And mm-hmm. they basically doubled the points cost on the first Porphyrin, and then the second one was 150, so it was sort of 350 for two. I don't think mm-hmm. you could take singles anymore. And then we'd modify the rules a little bit more. So now the guns are strength 7, they're no longer blast. The missile pod has changed a little bit. There's a few little tweaks like that. But even then, Sean took, I think he had 9 Cerastus and maybe 18 Questorus or something like that.
I saw the photo. I mean, it's a lovely looking household.
Yeah, it's a really cool little custom household of his. But they get on you quick, and they're on like glue. And I did not, like, I've only ever used 2s and 3s of the Cerastus and Questorus. And I know how damaging they can be, but when there's like multiple waves of charges coming in, and Titans go down super quick. So it took a little bit of figuring out, but it was good fun to play. And I actually think they add quite a bit of value to the game because, you know, and hopefully you guys will see some on the weekend as well when you play.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You should be able to play with what you've paid your money for and paint it up and spend all that time on, but I don't really want to be playing 4 or 5 games over the weekend and having 2 or 3 Acastus Knights in every game I play.
Yeah, right. Are you worried a little bit then that the kind of people who are bringing Titan lists will also be kind of automatically incorporating in Acastus?
Well, we'll see on the day.
Yeah.
There's two things in AT that I think can really ruin games. And one is, because the Acastus at the event aren't going to be changed at all. So they're going to be whatever the rules are on the card and the points that you're paying for. So there is scope to see a few.
Yeah.
I don't think they're particularly good for games, because if you have to customise your mana pools to deal with it.
Yeah,
you've got to have big blasts and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I want to take what I want to take.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think is really bad for the game is bloody Scarable Mines.
Have you seen them yet? No.
Right. So you don't want to. You can play them every turn, which is the problem. And it's you stick them down, they scatter, and then you've got anything within 12 inches suffers damage. Every inch you move is dangerous terrain. And then it's strength 4 or something, strength 3 or 4 dangerous terrain. And every inch you move adds to the strength, and you take damage to the legs, bypass to voids. Well, that's a 24-inch bloody area. You stick that down every turn, nothing's moving. It kills games of Titanica.
Yeah, and I think when you've got such a, you know, like movement is such a big factor in the games, if you're killing the movement aspect, then you're killing probably half of the game, really.
Well, exactly, and you can do that every turn. If it was a one-trick pony and you could think it was, you know, a one-off, just to stifle movement for one turn, got no problem with that. But so, I don't, you know, if I'm playing games and there's 3 or 4 Acastus every turn, every game, I'm like, well, it's not a lot I can do about that.
Yeah.
I think my problem with the Acastus is, obviously, the firepower is horrendous, but it's the resilience of them as well.
Oh, yeah, they're really hard to take out because they've got so many hole points on the track. And then 17 for a crit. I mean, there's only 2 weapons in the game that can do that, right?
Yeah, they can do it flat. I mean, obviously, there's ways around it with coordinated strikes and a few stratagems here and there. You can get experimental weapons, can't you, and all that kind of stuff.
But I became a big fan of the experimental weapon on the weekend. That was a super good strat, that one.
Yeah, you can definitely build a good Titan around that where you're happy to have whatever weapon gets the upgrade, can't you? You can really play around with that.
But you're right, Steve. I mean, they are really resilient.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the answer is, whether or not it's, you know, up in the points like you guys do over there. I mean, like, I'd be all for that. I don't necessarily know that they need to be changed, but they definitely could do with a points adjustment, I think. They shouldn't dominate games the way they do.
No, I would almost like to have seen them, I know this just might be controversial, but I would almost like to have seen them as a Knight Titan and have a Titan-style terminal.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
So, I mean, they're pretty much Warhound size, aren't they?
Yeah, so if they then also, do you think maybe incorporating facings into them as well might have added a bit more of a dimension of limitation?
Because I think the whole idea of them was to give firepower to a knight household.
Yeah, which is very reasonable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it would have been quite cool if you was a household player to have something Titan-esque.
Yeah.
With a, you know, it could have its own standalone terminal with critical damage and stuff. You can still have them in units.
Yeah.
But critical damage would maybe affect the units and stuff like that. I think, you know, the game's so flavoursome that, oh, that would have been great.
Yeah. And I think it was hard for us too, because the game was really cohesive up until that point too. Like, the Lancers brought their own kind of disruption to the meta, but it wasn't, you know, it was easy enough to deal with, really. But then when the Acastus came out, they've just got so many different points where they need a little bit of a tweak.
Yeah, like the whole thing's wonky, isn't it, really, in a lot of ways. But, I mean, the stipulation for the event is you can only take one support banner per mana pool.
Yeah. Are you guys allowed to run multiple mana pools for the...
You're allowed to, yeah. Yeah. So the most Perforians you can get in a... So you could technically get four in the 1K and the 1.5K.
Yeah.
Because you're only realistically going to get one mana pool. And so you could take one banner of four.
Yeah.
And then mathematically, you could get eight in the 2K list.
Yeah.
Because you could take two minimal Lupercal mana pools and then take a banner of Acastus for each one.
Yeah. Hopefully people can use their imaginations and kind of create a little bit more immersion than just doing that, because that would be pretty boring to see.
I don't think you'll see that. I don't think anyone will be that balmy.
Yeah.
But
it's out there now, Chris.
I put it on my video as well.
Yeah. We'll put a pin in this as well, and I think people can revisit it in the future when, you know, like the that London GT where all the tables were covered in white foam. This will be the worldwide Warhammer Titanicus event. Will be, you know, mark the day that we'll be like, oh yeah, I don't think anyone will do that, and then you see everyone's got Acastus maniples and really cynical Lupercal maniples and Acastus banners. It's just really cynical list building.
just with Vulcan bowlers to strip shields and then getting bombarded by eight Acastus. Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, sorry, my dog's barking. Hang on a second. I'll just tell her to knock it off. She's a good security system. Yeah, she's all good now. So, I can't wait to see the video anyway. And, Steve, if you put yours up too, I'm pretty keen on that as well. So, But I guess we'll wrap there. I just wanted to say you guys do a great job. And I have been a big fan for a while now. And I'm just stoked to see, like, independent games, and I love the approach that you guys have. Like, I can see it comes across that you guys are just normal guys playing a game, and I think that you know, the fact that the videos of such high quality, the models of such high quality, you've got great tables, obviously, thanks Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah, it makes a really big difference, and you know, I appreciate you guys putting it up there on YouTube, because it hopefully as well, I mean, I'd love to kind of go down that route of being able to film my games, and it's something that I've always sort of said could happen, but you guys are showing that it can happen as well. So
yeah, I mean, you just got to do it.
Do it, yeah.
And it'd be great to see more AT content. So
yeah, definitely
do it. That'd be awesome.
Well, I'm currently about 2,500 kilometers away from anybody who plays Adeptus Titanicus, so next time it comes around, but I'll try and work it out. Like, at some point in the future, I'd love to be able to put up a filmed game, but I'd, you know, when you guys are doing it, I'm just stoked to be able to see that. So thanks again, and and I look forward to the more of them in the future. And that's Tabletop Standard Presents Engine Kill on YouTube. And it was Steve_paintstuff on Instagram, right, Steve?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and Tabletop_standard for Chris. And did you guys got shouts out for the other boys? Do they gram as well, or blog, or anything like that?
I don't know, but
likewise.
I don't actually know. But a massive shout out to Jeff and George anyway, because without them, there would just be the two of us, and they are quality guys, and they've got quality mouthfuls, and they help us make the channel. So
yeah,
we do it without
quality battle reports.
Because of getting those guys on board as well, and their enthusiasm, it has pushed it on actually more than we probably thought it was going to. So
yeah,
thank you very much, fellas.
Well, and you know, definitely when there's 10 of you rolling deep in the shirts at Warhammer World on the weekend, I mean, there's six more players we haven't seen on the battle reports yet. So
yeah, so hopefully we can. Because we know the stuff's going to be painted because for the weekend, so hopefully we can entice the other guys to make an appearance, perhaps.
Beautiful. Have they put a painting requirement down then?
Just got to have your models painted. It's the usual, I think, GW3.
Haven't they thrown out a rubric for like their events generally?
Yeah, they have actually. Yeah. There is a website you can go on to see kind of what the standard is, which is linked to the pack. But I think
I bet that's grim.
I think, yeah. I mean, I think you realise that I think there's a lot of effort. I think, I don't know why with AT, but there's a lot of pride, I think, goes into people's manifolds. So I think the standard will be very good.
I think from the start, for me too, it's felt like a real hobbyist's game. Like the kits feel like little model kits. And I think the fact that there's terminals and all this extra stuff to paint, like, you know, I notice when you guys sort of film around the terminals, there's more stuff done in the background. But, yeah, well, I mean, I've painted up all of my arc guides, and I've painted up all the little chits and tokens and all that sort of stuff too. Like, there's a lot for the hobbyist to get out of this game.
Absolutely, yeah. And new terrain coming out soon as well.
Oh yeah, that looks like good stuff. You picked up the one of you boys has picked up the Forge World pack as well, haven't you? With the little silos and that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I bought a few, didn't I?
Yeah, you got it for my birthday.
Oh, how sweet. Yeah, nice. Oh, well, thanks again, guys. I really appreciate you coming on. And this will probably end up on Echoes from the Wasteland, and it may also end up on Eye of Horus Engine Kill. And then whatever you want to do with it as well, link it and share. And hopefully we can get some more people watching and commenting and participating in what you guys do, because it's top stuff.
Jackie, thank you very much for the exposure and for watching our videos and for just supporting what we're doing. Thank you very much, mate.
Yeah, likewise, Jackie. Thanks for having us on, mate. And yeah, thank you so much.
No worries. Keep up the great work. All right, thanks, boys.
Cheers, mate.